man. Wow.
And so, like, right when Kyle kicked it off to me, they hit a three, like, bam, and I, oh, that took me off. But yeah, man, yeah, you know, everything good, everything good. Just, you know, checking out this college, glad college basketball is back. Hoping my Spartans, they rank number two right now to start off the season, so hopefully they can stay up that high.
Yeah, Sparty's look coming in the season looking, that was a dope video.
Yeah, Lupe, so did Lupe.
Oh, for real? Lupe actually said something about it?
Yeah, he did. He messed with Company Man, so he recorded a super fax. IG, B told us about it, and we ended up watching it. And yeah, he out, you know, our experience up there. We'll be out tomorrow on Is the Mic Still On? So make sure you guys subscribe to that and check it out. And hear about the adventures in L.A. So that'll be live tomorrow.
True indeed, true indeed. And the homie FIFO is coming through in just a few. So we'll get it cracking, man. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Like Ken said, they were
putting the stump down on Georgia. And it was funny because as that game was going, Ken was like, yep, FIFO did. This is why you never trust Georgia teams. Like, you know, this was the game that was going to pretty much get them over the hump. They got past Auburn. We was looking at it pretty much a clash of the undefeated in the SEC championship game between Alabama and Georgia. And speaking of Alabama, they caught them a scare against Mississippi State. Man, Nick Saban was out there all having all types of almost heart attacks. not to be joking saying that, because I know people listening that has family members that suffered a heart attack or anything like that. But just the expression of his face and the way he was looking, I thought he was about to go out there and fight somebody. Alabama caught a scary one. Crazy to me right now. That's the thing that stood out, man. Yeah, that college football, man. Georgia and Auburn, man. I was just like, wow. Like, Georgia had it. I mean, they still going to end up probably playing in the SEC championship game because, you know, they have the best record in the SEC East. But, this sucks the life out of them now. Unless they can beat Alabama in the SEC championship game, is the only way I can see them making it that making the playoff. But other than that, dang, Georgia. And this also makes it very interesting for Auburn and Alabama in 2 weeks because now Auburn looks, you know, Auburn, they got some confidence now. You know what I'm saying? They playing with a lot of confidence. And now this Iron Bowl is going to mean a lot more now going into this in a couple of weeks. The week of, I think it's going to be Thanksgiving weekend when they play each other. So, I'm looking forward to that Auburn and Alabama game. And it's going to be at Auburn, too. So, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, Jordan Hare will be rocking.
Yeah, it's going to be rocking, man. So, yeah, that's the stuff that stood out for me this weekend in sports.
Okay. Ken, what about you? What stood out to you across the board this past week?
First, Fort Valley State University losing to Tuskegee for the SEAC championship.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, that game was on ESPN3. We have family members that are alumni there, so they were all watching that over the weekend. And yeah, it was like, last I heard it was 12-9 with like 2-something minutes to go. So that was the last score I heard. I don't know the official score, but it don't matter. They lost. But salute to them boys, man, because, I mean, you know, they back-to-back, man. They had a chance to go back-to-back. And I remember the coach that they had before, he just couldn't win the big game. Like, he would always need to win that one game to get to the final, to get to the championship, and he could never win the big game. And they replaced him with the new guy they have, who used to be a DB. I think he used to play in the NFL for the Jets and the Chiefs. And since he came on board, they won it last year, and this year they had a chance to win it again. They have a tendency to start off slow and finished strong, and they did that again this year. So salute to them. But, yeah, that was a tough loss for them. Jacoby Brissett, man, I got to salute that brother, man. I'm not watching football, but I look at the box scores, man, and I got to say, man, that brother's doing his thing on a team that really isn't all that good. So he seems to be handling himself really, really well. He was thrown into a situation in which I think he wasn't prepared to succeed. And if I'm the Buffalo Bills, we know Tyrod Taylor ain't it. So unless y'all get a quarterback, man, somebody need to be looking at him. Unless Luck, because Luck will be back next year. So salute to that brother.
We think Luck will be back next year.
Right. Yeah. Probably one of the best games of the weekend, Miami smashing Notre Dame. Smashing Notre Dame because everybody jumped on that Notre Dame bandwagon as they do every single year. Knowing good and damn well, Notre Dame is not deserving of the credit that they always get. They're living off this legacy, this pedigree that they had in the past, and those days are over, man. So salute to Miami for coming back and doing their thing. But we had Mark Ritt before here in Georgia. He's setting y'all up. He's setting y'all up for heartbreak. So enjoy it now. But right when you think you onto something, you're going to lose that game you shouldn't have lost. And it may happen this weekend.
Every year.
Every year, man. We've been through this before. Back to what B was saying, man. Kirby Smart, man. Everybody was thinking he was the one, and then he got smashed. I don't have much to add on that, but yeah, I thought that was interesting. And triple double nothing, man. Triple double nothing. Lonzo Noball became the youngest player to score a triple double, and people act like that means something because he surpassed LeBron for the record. Man, triple doubles are great, but they're losing like what they really used to mean back in the day because everybody seemed to be getting them now. And that's a great accomplishment by Lonzo Noball, but when we saw LeBron, we knew he had it. When you watch Dennis Smith play, you know he got it. When you see De'Aaron Fox, you're like, man, that boy got it. But when you watch Lonzo, we like, I don't know. So him getting a triple-double, I mean, anybody can get one nowadays. So I don't think people should jump all over that and look at that as a projection.
Hey, Ken.
What's up, B?
Hey, give me. I know you said you wanted to touch on, like, what you saw when y'all went to the Lakers game when y'all was at L.A. during the weekend. You said you saw something in him and, like, the crowd saw it, too. What was that?
So, all right. So he has no emotion. He acts like he doesn't care. He has Jay Cutler syndrome. Ooh. And what I mean by that is that people used to always say that Jay Cutler throw a turnover and it looked like he didn't, like the game didn't matter to him. Lonzo Noball is very stoic, very reserved. He always is. Just no sense of urgency, no aggression, no leadership qualities, nothing at all. So when Jason Kidd kind of scoffed at them making that comparison on First Take and said he said it wasn't even close or whatever he said, he's right. Because Lonzo is the complete opposite of his dad. If you gave Lonzo his dad's personality, Lonzo would be out there killing it some kind of way. But he was passing up open, like B. And if you watch the game, it was in the third or fourth quarter, and he came around the corner and he was wide open for a mid-range shot, and he kind of semi-pump fake and didn't shoot the ball and passed it. I'm like, Raph and I, we're like, what are you doing? So that's that, but we already knew he was passive. But to watch it play out live is like, oh, my God, what are you doing? Like, so that's that.
And you know what I hate? Too, I don't mean to cut you off. Like,
no, you're good.
They showed, you know, Lonzo Ball's first 8 games, and then they showed Jason Kidd 8 games, and the stats, and they was like pretty identical. But you can't, you know, add in the intangibles that Jason Kidd brought. Like, yeah, their stats was the same and a little bit better percentage. But Jason Kidd, even as a rookie, you can tell he was a leader. Like you said, he was in teammates' face. He was playing aggressive, even though he was shooting 20-something percent. He he was still making plays without scoring. And it's like, we're not seeing that same urgency with Lonzo Ball. Yeah, they got the same exact stats their first eight games. But we all know, me and you, we all know when you watching Ball, Jason Kidd that game, regardless if he shot 14%, he can still take over the game without even scoring. That's because Jason Kidd was just like that dynamic. So yeah, that comparison was like, I would have laughed too if I was Jason Kidd. Like,
yeah, that was hilarious, man. And the thing about it is that, like, when Jason Kidd and Kyle, you may remember this, B, you may remember it a little bit. Jason Kidd was that dude in when I was in high school.
Oh, no, like, question.
People talked about him when he was in college. So
yep.
he had a fan base. Lonzo didn't have that fan, and I'm talking about, I'm in Mississippi, and we didn't have all the games like that, right? But you heard about Jason Kidd all the way in Meridian, Mississippi. So Lonzo was hyped by his dad and college, and we have all this media that kind of covers it and put these guys on this pedestal in the forefront of these guys to watch. But back then, your game and your reputation is what carried you and got you noticed. And when you came to the NBA, we already heard about you because we didn't get a chance to see you play. So we're in front of the whenever we got a chance to watch you play, we're watching you play. And that was the thing about Kidd. He had a high motor. The last thing about what I noticed is that LA really wants him to win, but they're growing frustrated. They're becoming tired, and Kuzma is the one that they're starting to really get behind, because Kuzma is very aggressive. Kuzma think he the best player on the court. Kuzma think he the best player on the court, and he says some things about, like, he thinks highly of himself and his game. Like, he wants to be up there with the LeBrons and the KD. We don't know if he has the talent to do it, but his mindset is there. And the crowd loves Kuzma, and they want Lonzo to be that guy, and they're trying to root him on and cheer him and give him that energy, but he's not receiving it. And meanwhile, he's losing favor to Kyle Kuzma. And I don't know, man, like, I'm going to give him his 30 games, like somebody asked me on Twitter, but how long does it take for us to know what's what, man?
That's a good point. I've heard, you know what, Ken, what you said really has been kind of resonating around the NBA community. I think his personality kind of, and we'll talk a little bit more about all in the Ball family a little later in the podcast. But yeah, he's a laid back kind of dude. And it's, you know, I guess it translates to the court, I guess. I don't know. But that's if you observe that. And fans already observing that. And I do agree with you. You know, people do want to see this kid win, or at least some people. At least LA, let me rephrase that. LA fans want to see him win. So, but yeah, we'll talk about the Ball family in just a few. Let's see, what stood out to me over the weekend, like this past week, in college basketball, my man Patrick Ewing got his first win at Georgetown. So salute to him. In Major League Baseball, my man Aaron Judge, you guys know I'm a Yankees fan. Aaron Judge ran away with the American League Rookie of the Year, so salute to him. College football, Butch Jones is out at Tennessee. I think Stevie Wonder saw it coming. Butch Jones really sounded surprised that he got fired, but he hadn't won any game. He really didn't win like they had expected him to, and, you know, he's just another guy. And so Tennessee is now searching for a new head coach. Also in college football, and I, being a Florida State fan, I hate to admit this, but Ken, you can appreciate this, man. The turnover chain. Miami with the 36-inch Figueroa turnover chain. It's the rave of college football. And, you know, I mean, as much as I hate Miami, as much as I want them to lose, yo, when that turnover chain comes out, man, they get amped. I mean, like, it's something to play for, and it's something that's brought a level of excitement to Miami. And I keep hearing people say, is the U back? No, the U ain't back. Miami's back. But that, I don't think we can ever call them the U, because the U, you know, that era of Miami football was something totally different from what we see now. But
it needs to be retired. Retire the
U. Exactly. Exactly. You got to, because you'll never have that kind of, you know, swagger, or those kind of athletes, you know, all on one team. But But yeah, man, the turnover chain, man, as much as I hate Miami, the turnover chain is kind of hype. NBA, what stood out? Interesting stat I saw the other day. LeBron. Now, LeBron turns 33, I think, next month. He's averaging 38.3 minutes a game. This is his highest mark since the 2010-2011 season with Miami. That's a lot of minutes. You know, that's something I'm going to keep my eye on. And I know he's probably having to lose toll on him as they push, you know, toward the Eastern Conference Finals as well as the NBA Finals. NFL, a couple of things stood out to me. Welcome back, Teddy Bridgewater, man. Salute to that brother, man. I saw him this past weekend on TV in tears just before the Redskins played the Minnesota Vikings. Sleep on the Saints right now. They got it rolling. In New York, McAdoo, or I call him McAdon't. McAdoo's done. Head coach, New York Giants, he's done. I'm surprised that the Giants have not fired this man already. I think that the Giants is not a knee-jerk reaction type of team, so they're probably going to let him stay there until the end of the season. But the Giants have just been a train wreck. And, you know, I just remember watching a press conference the other day, and they asked McAdoo what did he say to his team at halftime, and he didn't say anything. And he was just speechless. And so he's going to get canned. Ken, you know, we pro brother. They got the Giants of a brother GM, Jerry Reese, who's been the GM for the last 11 years. I'm pretty sure he's going to be let go as well. Salute to Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan this weekend became the 19th quarterback to pass for 40,000 yards, and he did it in 151 games. So he was the quickest player to do that. So he's on a pretty quick path. But, you know, none of that stuff matters unless he gets a Super Bowl ring. Speaking of the Falcons, man, shout out to Adrian Claiborne, 6 sacks now against the Cowboys. Now, we know that Ezekiel Elliott is on this suspension. And did Dallas miss Ezekiel Elliott? Of course they did. But it looked to me more like they really missed Tyron Smith, the left tackle, the all-pro left tackle for the Cowboys. His replacement, Adrian Claiborne, beat him like a drum, sacked Dak Prescott 6 times. I think the Falcons had 8 sacks. Adrian Claiborne was 1 sack shy of the of Derek Thomas's sack record. And now, here's the thing that you got to keep in mind. Adrian Claiborne has only had more than six sacks in one season. Of any remaining games that's remaining for the rest of this season, and then you pair it up against whatever's on TNT that particular night, and I'm pretty sure, and TNT, and here's the thing that nobody's talking about.
Turned out the NBA as of right now. But, yeah, man, you know, sometimes I try to give, like, you know, young dudes, kids, the benefit of the doubt of, you know, making dumb decisions and stuff like that. But, like, the situation that
had big moments with New York. He was, what was it, like the second overall 8 seed to make it to the finals? Larry Johnson was a big part of it. Still made it to the Eastern Conference Finals with Pippen. They still won 55 games that year without Jordan. But obviously, they didn't win a championship. Obviously, they weren't the same team. Michael Jordan was the difference. But, you know, when I look at Popovich, man, he has done it with one guy, two guys. Like Ken said, guys drafted in the 20s and the 15s out of the lottery. So, to me, that shows more of true coaching versus a system. You know, there's system coaches like a D'Antoni, like a Phil Jackson, where there's one thing that they know, they preach it, they're going to draft guys for it. Popovich don't draft guys for a particular system. Popovich draft guys that can play ball, and I will figure how to use you best. And to me, that's what true coaching is. It's not about always getting the most talent. It's about being able to make everybody play well together. And that is the one thing that Popovich does best out of any other coach I've ever watched play or watch coach in the NBA. And I'm not going to say, I think there's other guys up there. Don Nelson was one I think is highly underrated. It was way before his time. But Popovich, man, for the most part, Ken said it too. Like, it's not like he did it with chopped liver. Like, he did it with Tim Duncan. He did it with David Robinson. Both of those guys were very high draft picks. But beyond them, who else was? Kawhi wasn't. Kawhi was drafted outside of the lottery. Right. And he only gave up George Hill to get him. You know, Sean Elliott was.
Give me Pop all day. I'm taking Greg Popovich every single time. Now we're coming to the conclusion of the podcast. As we always mention, man, we definitely thank you all for tuning in and hitting us up. Make sure that you, if you haven't done so already, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. A little game we like to play, man. Before we close out, one got to go. This is not from me. This is from the homie Eclectic on Twitter. You can follow him at Eclectic on Twitter, or you can follow at one, the number one got to go. So we give you a couple of topics or a couple of it's four things, four choices to make. You pick one, you know, to leave forever. And it's pretty simple, you know. So when you see it on Twitter, you know, shed a love, if you will. So I got a couple here. Let's go NBA. Let's go. Ken, I'll start with you first. NBA power forwards. All right. Chris Webber. Sean Kemp. Larry Johnson, Kevin Garnett, one got to go.
Damn, grandmama. man, Webber was so nasty, man. Like, it's almost like he was ahead of his time with the things that he could do on the court. Then Sean Kemp, the Rain Man. And man, come on, man, KG, man, like,
right?
You need a guy like that on your squad. So, let's get rid of the guy wearing the wigs. the first Tyler Perry.
He was, wasn't he? People, what about you, man? One got to go: Chris Webber, Sean Kemp, Larry Johnson, and KG.
The one I got.